Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of OC Spotlight. The one show, the only show showing you the most amazing people doing the most incredible things right here in Orange County. And today, well, we got an amazing story, but it's going to take a while to spin this tale for you today here. So with us, let's start by introducing our guest coming to us via Zoom today here. We have Dr. Lanny Johnson, I believe an orthopedic surgeon, and we have Dr. Jacqueline Wynn, popularly known to her patients and friends as Dr. J, not the basketball player, but Dr. J is with us here today. And both of them are here to talk about something which I hear is the science of PCA. Is that correct? You guys are going to talk about the science of PCA?
Yes, we are. Called pyrrhocachuic acid. Difficult to say, so we'll make it easy on everybody and just say PCA going forward, the nickname.
All right, let's start with some simple introductions here. You both got long resumes, and rather than me read them, I'd rather you tell them. Let's start with Dr. Lanny Johnson. What do you do? And you got patents, you got all sorts of stuff. You're a well-known physician in your field. Give us your background.
Okay, well, I am an orthopedic surgeon, but as an orthopedic surgeon, I was one of the pioneers in what's known as arthroscopic surgery, very popular amongst athletes, even although it may have been before Dr. J, the basketball player, time.
Yes.
And now in the newspaper, you'll see everybody getting arthroscopic surgery. I invented the motorized instruments for that way back in the 70s, which are used every day, every case worldwide.
So I used one of yours way back when because I tore my knee, tore the cartilage, and they had to go in and do whatever it's called, I can't say it, but the type of surgery you just mentioned where they go in with these little cameras and this little thing, and they go in there and dig out the broken cartilage and remove it here.
Correct. Before, I took a big incision and 6 weeks in the hospital, and now it's a one-hour procedure and go home.
Right, exactly. All right, well, thank you for helping me get through that, because that was pretty fearful. The earlier version was not an easy thing to go through, and it's much faster and easier these days. So you were actually one of the pioneers in that and actually came up with, you hold some patents, I guess, for some of that equipment involved in that?
Since that time, I have a number of patents related to medicine and surgery, and most recently, 18 patents related to the treatment of bacteria or viruses.
Okay.
On PCA pyrrhocachuic acid.
All right, we're going to get to that. And where do you practice? Or are you still in practice, or are you just a consultant?
I'm not in practice. I happen to be 88 years old, and I concluded my practice some time ago when I was 62, and I've just pursued research and development full time, which I had before was kind of part time because I was practicing. So,
right.
But I'm still a medical doctor and still licensed in California and Michigan.
In Michigan. Well, that's where I'm from originally. I went to the University of Michigan here. That's when I tore my knee.
I went to Michigan State. You may have heard of it.
Sorry about that.
That's 90 miles up the road, right?
It is, exactly. And 100 miles away in terms of our shared base here. We're blood enemies, but we won't let that bother us here today.
What city did you grow up in?
I grew up in suburban Detroit. My dad was an executive for Chrysler Corporation, and so I went to the U of M, and that's where I learned radio. I ran the college radio station and then went off and worked from radio from there.
Yeah, I grew up in Royal Oak.
Well, there you go. That's right around the corner. I grew up in Bloomfield, right around the corner from there.
Okay, the smallest world going forward.
It sure is. Well, welcome to the show. Always good to have a Michigander here, even if they're from Michigan State. And so what led you? Well, let's, before we go down the PCA route, let's bring in your partner here, your what should we call you? Do you guys work in this together? Or you?
We're working together, and we've really hit it off so well that I'm Papa J and she's my daughter.
So,
all right.
Paul and everyone, hi, everyone. This is Jacqueline, Dr. J. I'm a clinical compounding pharmacist, a formulator, very passionate in what I do. And so here I am at our company, Quick Brand and Dr. J's Natural. And that's how I get to grace and meet this world-renowned orthopedic surgeon with 79 patents. So, of course, seeing he's 88 years old, I'm like, what can I do for this wonderful Dr. Right. Lanny Johnson? Right. And he tells me, just make the product for me and I'll give it away to save the world. I'm like, there's no such thing as giving the product away and saving the world in this pandemic time. No. So of course I didn't believe him. Of course I didn't believe in the 18 patent of PCA. So for me as a formulator, every day right now for the past 2.5 years in our manufacturing facility, making disinfectant wipes, disinfectant spray, hand sanitizer, everything and anything related to PPE product, mask, we make it here in Southern California. Okay. So of course, when I was able to grace this wonderful orthopedic surgeon in our company, and I'm like, there's such a thing that I can kill, I can deactivate coronavirus right away and protect myself for up to 24 hours. What a wonderful thing. I want to be able to give it all to the school.
An amazing thing. And some are going to, let's be honest, some are going to say, I can't believe it. Why haven't I heard all about this? This is too good to be true. So let's talk about the science of PCA. Define what this, I can't even say it, proto-cachuic. What is proto-cachuic acid? Where does it come from? What does it do?
Okay, well, interesting enough, it's found throughout nature. It's in the trees, it's in the soil, it's in the rivers, and it also is an everyday human diet, and the human large bowel bacteria manufacture a little bit every day. So PCA is a very natural product found everywhere.
Okay. So, for example, like if you eat cherry paw, everyone, then in the skin of the cherry, it has proto-cachuic acid.
Well, Dr. Johnson and I are from Michigan. That's one of the things they're known for in Western Michigan, those cherries from Michigan here. Yeah.
That's actually how it started. I read in the Lansing newspaper that two scientists at Michigan State had discovered that the dyes making cherries red, when applied to the rodent's insulin cells, made insulin. I then reasoned that it might make other tissues produce a growth hormone. The answer was yes. I went to Scripps out here in California.
Sure.
We showed on human joint lining that the dyes of cherries made human joint lining make a growth hormone that would heal cartilage, and I have a patent on it.
Unbelievable.
That's where we started. So we started with Michigan cherries.
This is getting more and more interesting for me by the minute. All right. So now you've got this acid that occurs naturally, and you say it has what? Some sort of regenerative effect? Is it anti? Because in the press release I saw, it's anti-everything. Anti-aging, antibacterial, antiviral, antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, antibiotic. How can it be all of those things at once here?
Well, let me make it simple. None of those are our discoveries. That's interesting enough. That's all in the literature. There are a number of major review papers, 4 of them, in the literature describing everything that you said. I didn't make any of those particular discoveries. Mm-hmm. What discovery I made was its isolated use in certain ways that allowed to get a U.S. patent. For instance, you can't get a patent on something that's already known to the public. For instance, if there's a newspaper article that says proto-cachuic acid is good for cancer, I'm not saying it is, but
Something.
You could never get a patent on it.
Right. So you did some research, and what was the specialized use of this PCA, this proto-cachuic acid? Getting better at saying it.
By the time we're done, you're going to be able to articulate
it. I just might. All right. So you decided to focus on what? COVID or something prior?
No, not at all. My main interest is controlling infections in orthopedic surgery.
Right.
Infections in orthopedic surgery are a catastrophe.
Yeah.
For instance, if you have an infected total joint, like a hip or knee,
right,
and you will undergo multiple operations over the 2 years period, be very disabled. But here's what is in the literature and totally ignored.
Okay.
The 5-year mortality from an infected total joint is worse than that of cancer or of the prostate or black breast.
From what I read, it's more than 25%.
Yeah, more than 25% of people will be dead. But Here's the problem. no one cares. And why? I have connections that have put me in front of the presidents of J&J, Pfizer, DJ Ortho, Stryker. Everybody's looked at antibiotics for orthopedics. No return on investment, no interest.
Yikes. Because what? Because they got paid to do the operation and they got paid to put the prosthetic device in there and move on. If we got to do it again, so much the better. I'm sorry for you, but good news for us. Yeah.
You have to realize that the orthopedic companies have a responsibility to their investors. They're not humanitarian organizations.
No, this is that's one of the underlying flaws, perhaps, of our whole Western medicine system. It's a profit-based system. It's a pay-per-service system. And therefore, it's all profit and loss driven, essentially. They might have the greatest of intentions to help the world, but at the end of the day, what gets them funded, what gets the companies in business is to make money. And so they got to find the way to do that. I'll tell you another thing that I've seen with, maybe this is anecdotal, I don't have any data to support this, but I just know as I'm getting older, more and more of my friends are having hip replacements, something with their foot. They're usually knees and hips and things like that. But one of my cousins went through some sort of terrible foot surgery and it didn't work, or it didn't work like they thought it would. And they got to go do it again.
Yeah, well, that's that. Well, but you understand, that's a cash flow for the company.
Yeah, right. That's it. You know, there's not an incentive to do it right the first time.
And here's the other sad thing. The reason that return on investment is so bad is because of the regulations of the federal government. Yeah. The bar is so high. There's been no new class of antibiotics for 35 years.
Wow. And then I'm going to
hold on, Paul. Yeah. Let me give the audience and you this thinking. And yet PCA has been known that it's a new class of antibiotic, broad spectrum. Is that through your pen or through the literature?
No, well, it's through the patents. The literature only shows that certain extracts that include PCA may have an antibiotic effect. What I showed was that the individual reagent has a antibiotic effect. And so what happened was that the literature then showed that it wasn't the dyes of cherries that was the bioactive reagent.
Yeah, right.
What it turned out to be protocatechic acid, because what happens when you eat the dyes of cherries, within 30 minutes, it is converted to protocatechic acid in your bloodstream. And that's been done by carbon labeling. So now it wasn't the dyes, it was protocatechic acid. So then I said, okay, wonder what else it can do.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I reviewed the literature and then started on this track.
And I'm also going to guess, maybe I'm just guessing wrong here, though, the other problem with creating any kind of antibiotic is I've got to show some efficacy. I got to show it works. A lot of clinical trials are very expensive to go through this. And sorry, they're calling for it right now here. We're getting more calls about it right here. And I got to have some guarantee it'll work, because otherwise people will sue me. It didn't work. So there's litigation issues. If I'm administering an antibiotic, it better have a pretty high return rate. It better not be very risky. It better have been proven. And that takes a lot of money to do and stand behind and do all that. So I suspect that adds into the difficulty of producing.
Generally for a drug, it's $1 billion in 10 years.
$1 billion in 10 years. Well, that's a faster way of saying it. So can I really put $1 billion into this? Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the other sad thing. They all fail in phase three when all the money's been spent, and only 15% of drugs pass. So the reason the drug prices are high, the 15% that are sold have to cover for the 85% that never made it.
Right. Like all entrepreneurial venture capital stories, only a few make it and the rest of the fledglings fall out of the nest, and somebody's got to pay for all that investment along the way here. The few carry the many. Well, you know, we live in Orange County, which is medical device central and medicine central. You've got the Pfizers of the world here and Abbott Labs and J&J and lots of people, Johnson & Johnson, lots of people like that here. So I would think if anybody knows this story, it would be the researchers and companies and doctors in this community. Have they accepted this? How have they reacted to this breakthrough? Or are they just, I'm not sure I buy it, or I'm not sure I want to even hear that. Don't tell me.
One of the major things is NIH, not the National Institute of Health, not invented here.
Oh. I see.
So when, I should tell you, I've been personally with the leadership of Stryker within the past week.
And are they, you think they'd all be excited? This is a breakthrough drug, a new category of antibiotics we haven't seen in 20 years or whatever you said. Why don't we?
35 years.
Well, let me help you with that.
Yeah.
If they acquire another company that's profitable, their stock goes up.
Right.
If they announce that they have a new idea for research and development, their stock goes down.
Money. They got to invest in it.
Interesting.
So there isn't the motive, but yet they all want to find the new drug that's going to carry them for the next 10, 20 years, the thing they're going to sell, the new what's the stuff they put in your face that they discovered by accident takes away wrinkles, Botox or whatever.
Not necessarily, in my opinion. It won't take away wrinkles by a spray. It has been shown that it more than likely would.
No. Paul was talking about Botox. So Botox is a virus. So what it does is it frees the muscle in your face.
I know, it's horrible.
Everyone. And then you're hoping that by freezing that wrinkle or that muscle, then your face will be stiff and stretching out. But I want to focus on the fact that Dr. Johnson is a medical doctor. Myself is a clinical compounding pharmacist. So we are both in the Western medicine, we're
scientists. Yeah,
we believe in science. We believe in
facts.
Everything has to be drugs. So for Dr. Johnson to found this reagent called protocatuic acid, PCA, that has the anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, antibacteria, antiviral, anti-aging, and along with antibiotic broad spectrum. So both of us were looking at it as like, well, aspirin came from
a tree.
Right.
Digitalis
from a flower.
Came from flower. Aspirin.
No, we did aspirin. Penicillin came from a fungus.
Penicillin came from a fungus on bread. And so here we're like, we have to think outside of the box. So if PCA has all of these wonderful property and he spent over 15 years researching about this to help his orthopedic patient to prevent infection, reinfection in their surgery. So for him, he wasn't interested in finding out the next big thing for COVID because that was 15 years already spent. So when the pandemic hit January of 2020, he already have 15 patent out of PCA already. So
for
then
for antibiotics primarily.
Yeah, right. So now we're migrating into what's happening with the war when the pandemic hit.
Well, let's before you go
with PCA.
Before you go there, so what's the connection between the two of you? And just explain quickly, a compounding pharmacist, Dr. J. I have a little bit of knowledge on this, not much. I know there are pharmacists that will take all the pills and put them in the thing and tell you how they work. Then there are those that will actually make special compounds for you. My aunt had some rare form of cancer, and she had to get a special compound made for her where it's like old-fashioned pharmacy with a little pedal and mortar, and you're squishing stuff together, and you're mixing it, and you're making up a special batch of her, whatever this stuff was she needed. I know there are not many compounding pharmacies around, and they're usually expensive to get something specialized for something. But it's a very well-established thing that there are compound. And so that's what you do for a living. And then you have a company you've built where you make compounds for what? What is Dr. J's natural?
For me, being a compounding pharmacist for the last 23 years, graduating from USC School of Pharmacy, with a PharmD degree, doctor in pharmacy, then of course I venture into being a specialized clinical compounding pharmacist. So I'm not the average pharmacist where I count pill, put it in a bottle,
and give it to you at a
pharmacy drugstore. Right. I was passionate about minimizing the side effects of drugs and also fixing the problem from the root cause of the disease. So for me, I took 2 years of sabbatical and going into my Eastern root, which is being Vietnamese American. I want to learn the plant. I want to know why certain plants are so good for your body, like aloe vera, turmeric, right, ginger. And same thing, when I know that if there's a food or there's a fruit that is an antioxidant, people are telling you to eat a lot of it because antioxidant is the basic foundation of good health.
Dr. J, I'll cut you off because we are all there. I'm an aging baby boomer, and I'm sorry to say, maybe it's just me, but it's most of my friends and my wife. We don't necessarily trust all that Western medicine has to offer because it's usually, for pain and problems, a pill. And I don't want to be a pill popper like my parents were and drugged out like they were in the latter days of their lives. So we're all looking for healthier foods. We're all looking for healthier diets. We all go to places like Mother's and try herbs and supplements and all sorts of other things. We're all experimenting on our own here. So you're talking to, preaching to the converted, particularly probably here in Orange County. You know, there are people out there. So you make the kind of products, what, that get sold in Mother's that have, yes, some sort of natural.
So I have a nutraceutical company called Dr. J's Natural, and that's the holistic approach. Combine my Western compounding experience as a pharmacist, and then with my 10 years, 2 years of sabbatical learning about the plant and putting the science of the plant into making all of the products.
And does any of this come out of like Chinese herbal medicine and all that, where they're always making compounds, or is this just more basic than that? You're just trying to go to traditional plants and try and see how they've been used for years to treat things for centuries in many cases.
Well, I put together formula that it works. So for example, if I want to make a detox supplement pill, for most people, you can call up a manufacturer and say, make me a detox pill, make me a diet supplement bottle, and then market it and sell it on Amazon or on the website.
Right.
Well, for me as a clinical compounding pharmacist, I have to look into ingredient.
Right.
I have to look into formulation. So what ingredient goes with what and what will produce the synergistic effect? So that's when a pharmacist, a compounding clinical pharmacist comes in to make a product that would work. And it's still being a nutraceutical product.
So you're just taking that clinical compounding approach and using it in nutraceuticals in plant-based
arena.
Arena. All right. So I kind of got the gist of it. You both have impressive backgrounds here. You've both been doing lots of scientific research. Suddenly you stumbled into each other here. And what is the combination that you guys are talking about now? This PCA is what? You're not just talking about it as an anti-inflammatory for knee surgeries or other sorts of things or antibacterial. You're talking about what? Something to do with COVID? You keep saying COVID. How does this thing help me with COVID?
Okay, well, you understand I'm not a virologist. I'm not a bacteriologist. And when I saw that here came along COVID, I said, I wonder if besides bacteria, what would protocatrioic acid effect have on viruses?
Right.
So I started, looked in the literature again, 9 different scientific papers, often in poultry, also influenza, that PCA has a beneficial therapeutic effect. I went, wow. So then I sought out, where could I get it tested in the laboratory? So I found 2 laboratories, one MRI Global in Kansas City and Illinois Institute of Technology in Chicago. And we took a piece of metal, plastic, and the front end of an N95 mask. We sprayed each one with an alcohol that had PCA crystals in it, allowed it to dry. And then we dropped the active SARS virus on each one of the articles that had coated with the crystals. And we found out that it inactivated it at 10 minutes, waited 60 minutes, waited 24 hours, still inactivated that virus. So I applied for a U.S. patent in August of 2020, and there was no prior art. That's very unusual. And so by March of 2021, 7 months later, I had a U.S. patent in which the patents claims, this isn't something you can say you can do in clinically, but the patent claims that I have a way to treat the SARS virus by pill, intravenous, intraperitoneal, and even topical.
And what does it do? Does it somehow disrupt the virus? Does it kill it?
Well,
does it inactivate
it? Interesting. Most crystals look like my fist. Can you see that on TV?
Yeah, right.
Okay. But interestingly enough, I learned from MRI Global, the crystal looks like this, a PCA.
Well, that's the one. I always see the when they show the picture of it in an article, it looks like a spore. It looks like it has a central core and then these protruding things out of it, like an old mine out of a World War II a floating mine in the ocean here or something. Yeah.
Well, what happens is that you have the virus here, and it has, although it's very infective, it has a very thin, fatty coat, lipoid coat. And what happens is when that virus hits these spheres, it breaks the virus open and exposes the RNA.
There it is. So it's that. It is like a land. It is like a floating mine.
Well, yeah, in that sense, yeah, destructive. Yes. Now it has other properties. After the initial disruption, PCA has a low pH. It also has a blocking agent, and it is a protease inhibitor, just like anything else you were looking after. Not my research; it's in the literature.
Yeah.
What I discovered was the physical disruption.
We've had a lot of people come on and talk about low pH in water and alkalinity in water and all that stuff that creates supposedly an environment that's less conducive for cancer to grow and other things like that. I don't know if this fits into that, but sounds like you're swimming in some similar waters here. I'm not sure where how this all fits
basically
together.
I want Paul and everyone to know is that think of it is that the chemistry and the chemical structure of PCA protocatoic acid, it looks similar to an aspirin, but at the same time, just think of it, it has a spear shape,
right,
or a knife shaped structure,
right,
but it's invisible to your face. So for example, if I use this face mist toner that has PCA, what am I protecting? I'm protecting not only it has 18 patent, it has collagen synthesis patent, it has acne healing patent.
Good for your skin, all the things we expect to have in the spray.
But at the same time, the last two patent on COVID is that it's giving it my face, my eyes, my nose, and my mouth, at least that coating of PCA protection, so that anybody that may have sneezed, breathe, talk, and spit saliva on my face, at least it has that spear shape so that it can puncture the outer lipoid membrane of coronavirus.
Yeah. Can I say this?
Please.
This has to be clear. There's no clinical evidence that that's true.
Right.
Statements that she made were based upon basic science evidence supporting the patent. We have not taken any clinical trials to show that it protects
you. That's what I was going to ask. So you haven't gone to that phase. All right. So now we only got a couple minutes left here. Let's see if we can wrap this up. So you've come up with a revolutionary compound that's been all around us in natural plants and products here that has a lot of scientific literature behind it, but not clinical studies yet. It hasn't been turned into bought up by a big drug company and spent $1 billion to go down that path. Right. So right now, like the nutraceutical market, you're going off of the science that you know and the anecdotal evidence that you have and the experiences of others and all this basic kind of understanding and science that you bring to it. Now, I only have two questions left in the show. One is, why isn't this front page news? Why isn't this? We had all these other crazy things people were touting that turned out to be bogus or of very little value, of other potential drugs or other potential things that might help. Oh, there's a whole bunch of it floating around on the internet, and most of it turned out to be hooey. Why isn't this out there in the conversation, at least?
I think partly because I have been very rigid about the discipline of what we actually say.
Right.
And so I'm only going to say what has scientific credible evidence behind it.
What you know.
And we're not going to blow up a big balloon that has falsehood. Therefore, it's not attractive, perhaps.
All right. You're offering this now today. Dr. J's Natural Products. You have all these other things that you're doing for skincare, health and wellness and beauty products and other sorts of things. You're using plant-based nutraceutical stuff. Have you added this PCA, it sounds like, into other products, skincare products and other, or applying it to face masks or other sorts of things as a potential?
Because it is a food supplement, it is legal to market it through the nutraceutical avenue. by saying that the FDA has a disclaimer. The FDA has not evaluated it,
right,
and we're not claiming that it makes and it cures any disease or diagnosis or mitigates any disease.
Right. Here's we're offering this as an alternative. You judge. It hasn't been judged by any, and that's the whole nutraceutical market. I mean, some people have found that to be very controversial, but everything from Cheerios to everything has some sort of nutraceuticals added to it because we're open to this idea of plant-based alternatives to synthetic pills.
Here's the two side effects.
Okay.
It's like aspirin, one side effect, it can thin your blood a little bit. Right. The other side effect is it'll lower your blood sugar. Now compare that to the side effects when you hear an ad for a drug on TV.
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, my God. And they, by the time they spit those out at the end, I'm like, who in their right mind is going to take that? I don't care if it's a 1% chance. That's horrible. That's awful. Death, dismemberment, disease, you know, something terrible. All right, so you have an event coming up where people can get a deeper dive. This is really just fascinating stuff, and we're just touching the tip of the iceberg. We've told a very complicated tale in 20 minutes here. If people want to hear more about it, how do they do it? One is to go certainly to Dr. J's natural site. Give us that site, and they can, I assume, read more or try it and find out where to buy these things. Do you sell it at Mother's and places like that, or is this just over the internet?
Definitely go on to www.drjsnatural.com. That's the company's website. Or Amazon.com is where these products with PCA being sold.
And then is it distributed through the typical, what do we call the places like Mother's, places where you go get herbs and other traditional remedies and stuff? Are you in any of those distributed, or are you just directly distributed through the internet?
We are in a few of the MD Spa on our face mist toner and our spray away DOA. But we're just starting. So the September 30th is going to be the kickoff of what PCA can be able to be available for any distributor or anyone that wants to know or learn or be a part of this new paradigm shift.
Well, that's you're talking about tomorrow. We're doing this live here on OC Talk Radio on Wednesday, the 29th. Tomorrow at the 30th, you've taken over this spectacular restaurant. Is it on? Anki, I never know how to say that. It's a very
Anki,
very expensive, very hip restaurant here at South Coast Plaza, and you've rented out the whole place and to do this VIP red carpet rollout, and you've got a who's who list of local celebrities and congressmen. Luke Correa is going to be there, Katrina Foley, who's been on the show numerous times, State Senator Tom Umberg. I mean, you got a lot of people somehow that you've pulled together here. Assemblywoman Janet Wynn, on and on and on. Why are these people coming out to support you? This is a big statement for them to be there, even to show up and to be anywhere near this. They must have some confidence in you and what you're doing.
All Dr. Johnson and I wanted to share with the world the 18 patent on protocatuic acid and for the rest of everyone to decide if they want to live in harmony with coronavirus, what is out there for you to protect you right now?
Particularly if it's not going away tomorrow. That was the promise we were all given, that once we got vaccinated, it was going to be gone tomorrow. And now they're saying it might be with us like the seasonal flu for years to come.
Well, there's no interest in a cure because the vaccination is a cash cow every year.
Don't be cynical now here, Dr. Tripp.
No, I'm being honest.
Yeah, right.
Tell me it isn't.
Let me share with the Delta variant, the Lambda variant, the Mu variant on the coronavirus.
Right.
Will PCA with 18 patent puncture the variant of the coronavirus? The answer is yes, because we're going after the body puncturing the outer lipoid of the coronavirus. So even if it's a variant, the outer lipoid membrane of coronavirus is still the same. So the physical disruption on PCA is still the same, whether it's...
Because the only other alternative we have are the Lysol sprays of the world that kill on contact bacteria. And I don't know how they do the same thing. A lot of them have alcohol-based things. Somehow alcohol and other things disrupt lots of viruses.
Alcohol works while it's wet, but when it's dry, the surface is again vulnerable to bacteria or viruses.
Right.
But alcohol is a sanitizing ingredient. You can't call it a disinfectant coronavirus killing like Lysol, because those are pesticides. You can't use it on your face.
Yeah.
You can only use it on the surface.
That's
and
true.
It's only a one-time thing.
You can't spray it on your food. You can't spray it on your face. That's exactly true. All right. Well, fascinating stuff. So tomorrow, is there any seats available? If anybody, or are you sold out for this event at Anki, the big fancy restaurant here at South Coast Plaza, where you're going to unveil this to the world? And I assume there's it's like a black tie deal. There's a dinner, there's a red carpet, there's celebrities. And then at some point, I'm assuming there's going to be a presentation where you're going to tell the world in greater detail than we did today what you've discovered and how you're going to roll it out. Is there any more room at this event, or is it sold out?
If it's for you, Paul, I will personally make room for you.
I'll take you up on that. I got to come. Do I have to wear a black tie? I don't have a black tie.
No, it's only optional.
Okay.
You can have a suit. Right, and then bring your radio game on. And then,
all right. Well, then I'll take you up on it. Because I want to learn more. You got me intrigued. You had me at hello. We're all looking for other natural alternatives. Big quest for all of us here. And we look for it in our food. We look for it in our diet. We look for it in our products that we purchase, our skin products, our health care products, everything else. We're always looking for some little added benefit to fight all these things that are threatening us in the environment, in the world that we live in. And COVID, wow, whew, if anything that can help even give me a little barrier to that, I'm open to that idea, because this thing's going to be with us for a while, it seems like. So tomorrow, this thing starts at like 6 o'clock. It goes to 10. There's a red carpet arrival of all these celebrities and more that I rattled off. But most of all, it's about making a splash and telling the world you have arrived and discovered something. And maybe, just maybe, I'm sure they'll sell more Dr. J's products and other people buy, but maybe it'll open up a bigger discussion about this PCA, this proto-catuic acid, and its potential impact
A+ already
on the world, because that's a bigger story, and that's something that we maybe need to pressure some of the drug companies and stuff to take a look at, even if it isn't immediately their most profitable thing. If we all demand it, they'll deliver it.
Well, except for one time a year, this will sound familiar to you, which I can say, go blue.
Exactly. Well, thank you from one Michigander to another for what you've done and the work that you've put into this. And I look forward to, I will come out and check this out tomorrow.
All right.
We'll report back and tell people more about it here. Because
it's not a fundraiser, by the way.
It's not a fundraiser. No. It's just it's literally like a premiere. Yeah, it's like a premiere of a new approach, new product. And yes, I hope it sells many products for Dr. J's Natural. It sounds like an additional interesting ingredient that many will respond to and hopefully has some real benefits to it. But beyond that, I hope it starts a story of this PCA, which apparently people have known about but not investigated enough, at least based on the patents and the lack of clinical trials that so far have developed. Lots of research on it, but not a lot of turning into real stuff here. Maybe this will be the start of that.
Great.
Thank you so much for coming on. How do we give us one more time the website, and then we'll end today here.
DRJSnatural.com, or call us if you wanted to be our distributor at 1-888-307-7078.
Okay. Well, all that and more. Come out and learn more. If you can't make it tomorrow, go check out the website and learn about PCA. The positive effect, the science behind PCA. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today. An extended version, because we had a lot to cover. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OCTalkRadio.net.